Will you open your Bible with me again at the longest psalm, the 119th psalm, and particularly at the section beginning at verse 73. Over the past two Sundays, we have been concentrating our thinking on one theme, the theme of the Bible, God's Word. We have concentrated on four aspects of that theme: the relation between God and the Bible, between Christ and the Bible, the Holy Spirit and the Bible, and last Sunday evening, the church and the Bible. Now, this morning, as a sequel to that, I want to turn with you to this psalm, which is dominated, as you may know, by teaching on the Word of God, the 119th Psalm, and especially to the first verse of the passage we read, verse 73. And our theme this morning will be the Christian and the Bible. God and the Bible, Christ and the Bible, the Holy Spirit and the Bible, the Church and the Bible, and this morning, the Christian and the Bible. And here is the 73rd verse of Psalm 119. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. Now, you may well know that the 119th Psalm is really very skillfully constructed on an alphabetical basis. Most modern translations have this marked out at the beginning of each section. And every section begins with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And when you come to the beginning, for example, of the 119th Psalm, it is headed with the word Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But not only is every section headed by that letter, but every verse in that particular section begins with the letter which heads the section of the psalm. So, for example, in the passage we read this morning, which is described as Yod, which is probably the nearest approach you would get to the letter Y in the English alphabet, and which is, you may recognize, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It is that jot of which Jesus speaks when he says, not one jot or tittle of the law shall pass away. Now, the jot is the letter Y or Yod. And here, every single verse begins with the letter Y, if you like. There is not only, of course, this remarkably clever alphabetic construction to the psalm, there is a structure in the psalm also that relates to its theme, because it's impossible to read the 119th psalm without discovering that the psalmist is almost obsessed with the theme of the Word of God. There are several different words that describe the scriptures which the psalmist refers to. Notice them, for example, in this passage we read from verse 73. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. Look at the end of the next verse. My hope in your word. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, your laws are righteous. The end of verse 76. According to your promise to your servant. The end of 77. Your law is my delight. The end of 78. I will meditate on your precepts. the end of 79, those who understand your statutes. Verse 80, may my heart be blameless toward your decrees. Now you can run right the whole way through Psalm 119, and the laws, statutes, decrees, commands, or word of God occur in practically every single verse. So you have a variety of ways in which the psalmist is describing the word of God. And its theme, therefore, is centrally, its preoccupation indeed, is with Holy Scripture. And this is what I want to expand upon in the rest of our time from this single verse that introduces and in some senses summarizes the whole of this section from 73 to 80. But in the 73rd verse, there are three emphases. They are very simple. You can see them very easily. First, the hands of God. Your hands, the section begins. Secondly, the child of God. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. And through the whole of the psalm, the child of God in relation to the hands of God which made him is the second emphasis. And the third is an emphasis on the word of God. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. So I want us to look at these three things, which are the threefold theme of this vital introduction to this section: the hands of God, the child of God, and the word of God. And in these three emphases, my hope is that we will see the teaching of this psalm on the Christian and the Bible. Notice first the hands of God. Your hands made me and formed me. Now, of course, the hands of God in Scripture are the instrument of his power, sometimes in the singular, his right hand. It is the instrument of God's power, and the psalmist is therefore saying to us that we owe our very existence to the exercise of the creative, formative power of God in creating us and calling us into being and giving us our life. That's the significance of your hands made me. So the fact that I am at all as a human being derives from God, from his creative power. But there is more than that in what the psalmist is saying. The hands of God are not only the instrument of creation, they are also the instruments of all the providences by which our lives are shaped and fashioned. Your hands have made me, the Authorized Version says, and fashioned me. The NIV, and formed me. Now, the idea behind it you can get if you think of that illustration the Scripture uses on several occasions of God being the potter, and we are the clay, and he forms and molds us. Now, there are two processes that the psalmist is speaking about. The very fact that we are clay, that we exist at all, is due to God's hands having made us. It is the idea of creation that is present first. But not only have God's hands made us, they have fashioned us. And he has called into his employment, as it were, all the providences that form and shape our lives until he makes us and fashions us and molds us and forms us into the kind of people we are. That molding or fashioning is the formation of our character, our personality, the circumstances which have produced us as we are this morning. And the hands of God upon our lives have fashioned us to be what he has made us. Now that's the first and fundamental thing the psalmist is presenting us with. We have not created ourselves. God has given us being. And the shape that our lives have taken, the kind of people we have become, in all the pressures of God's providences, he has formed us and made us what we are. Now that leads to the second emphasis. It is on the child of God. And there are a number of things that we can learn from this verse of Psalm 119 about ourselves. For example, in the first place, we are creatures, not the Creator. Now you may think you don't need to learn that lesson this morning. My dear friends, let me press upon you that this is one of the most important lessons that human beings like ourselves can ever learn. That we are creatures, not creators. Because rightly understood, that truth makes a world of difference to the way we think about ourselves, and to the way we think about God, and to the way we think about life in relation to God. It is one of the greatest errors in human behavior that we live as though we were not creatures. Let me quote some of the teaching of Scripture to you in this connection. Listen to Isaiah in Isaiah 45:9. Does the clay say to the potter, "What are you making?" Does your work say, "He has no hands?" Or here again in Isaiah chapter 29, and at verse 16, "You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He did not make me'? Can the pot say of the potter, 'He knows nothing'?" Now do you see what Isaiah is warning us against? He is warning us against that arrogance that sin has brought into our lives, which begins to make us ignore the basic truth about us, which is that we are creatures, not the Creator. Now that is the bedrock of all true biblical humility. Once you have grasped this, once God has really taught you this, then there will be the possibility of a genuine, God-honoring, biblical humility built into your life and character, particularly in relation to God. For the tendency is for the clay to say to the potter, "Why have you done this?" Why have you made me like this? The psalmist says, your hands made me and formed me. We are creatures, not the Creator. Here's the second thing we can learn about ourselves as children of God. We are servants, not masters. The end of verse 73, give me understanding to learn your commandments. Now, one of the clear implications of God making us and forming us is that we need to learn His commands. We are not in the position of being masters over our own lives. We are servants who await the commands of Him who made us. I want to say more about that in a moment. But this is a vital thing for us to grasp. We are in the position of servants, not in the position of masters in relation to God. Thirdly, in relation to God, we are scholars, not teachers. We are creatures, not the Creator. We are servants, not masters. We are scholars, not teachers. Give me understanding to learn your commands. Now, what's the significance of that? Just this. Don't you find it so easy to slip into the same mode as Simon Peter, that you begin to instruct God as to how He ought to order your life or the lives of other people or the circumstances you are in the world or whatever? Do you remember Peter? When he turned teacher and made Jesus his pupil, he says to Jesus, when Jesus begins to tell him about his plan for atonement and redemption, this be far from you, Lord, he says. Peter took Jesus and began to say to him, you can just imagine, he brings Jesus aside and says, now, just listen to me for a moment. This be far from you, Lord. You must not do this. Whatever else happens, you mustn't go to Jerusalem. You mustn't suffer. You mustn't die. All of this plan, you need to abandon it. That's an extraordinarily easy thing, my dear friends, for us to try to become teachers to Jesus and lecture Him about the best way that He could do this or that in our own lives or whatever. And it makes the world of difference when you recognize your place as a scholar in Jesus' school, not a teacher. Now, to summarize all of that, we may simply say we are dependent, not independent in relation to God. Now, what are we dependent on? Well, we are dependent on God giving us His counsel for living. And that leads me to the last of the three things that the psalm emphasizes in this verse. The hands of God have made us and formed us. The child of God is a creature, not a creator, a servant, not a master, a scholar, not a teacher. And his dependence is a dependence, of course, in the deepest sense on God and in all his being, but quite specifically here, on God's commandments or God's word. Notice what the psalmist tells us. He tells us about the necessity of God's word, first of all. We cannot truly live without it, because we have been so created by God that his word, his command, his counsel, his wisdom is precisely what we need. He has made us in such a way that if in our arrogance we seek to become teachers rather than scholars, or masters rather than servants, we shall discover the dislocation of the whole of life. Because, as Jesus taught the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word and counsel and commandment of God is as necessary to human beings as bread is to our body. Now, we would never doubt the need that children have for nourishment. You deprive them of nourishment and they waste away. But in an infinitely deeper sense, if we deprive ourselves of the commandments, the law, the word, the precepts, the counsel, the wisdom of God, then, my dear friends, there is something in us that is going to waste away and cause us to die. But notice how the psalmist describes not only the necessity of the Word of God, but its suitability. There is a coupling together in verse 73 of Psalm 119 of God's hands and God's commands. Your hands made me and formed me. Your commands show me how to live. So I want to have understanding so that I can learn them. Your hands have made me. Your commands show me how I ought to live my life. It's the suitability of the Word of God for the child of God, because he has been made by the hands of God. Do you see? Now, this is why there is no substitute for God's Word. There is no wisdom that can stand in its place. There is no counsel that we can receive from any other source that is ultimately suitable to us as God's creation than this. It's the old story of the Maker's instructions. There is a correspondence between the work of the Creator and the words of the Creator. And he who made us has provided instructions for us. Notice how this is illustrated in this 119th Psalm. If you have your Bible before you, you will be able to see it very clearly. If you don't, just listen. He tells us multitudes of different areas of life where the Word of God is peculiarly fitted to deal with the needs of the people of God. Here is the psalmist as a godly man praying, and he says in verse 9 that there is a suitability of the Word of God to the people of God when they are battling for purity. How do we effectively battle for purity? Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to the Word. God knows we needed that placarded over the General Assembly this past week. How can a young man keep his way pure? by ignoring God's word and listening to contemporary society, is what the report they were debating said. And God help us, that has made a mess. The psalmist says, by living according to your word. Notice verse 28, not just when we are battling for purity, when we are broken by sorrow. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 36, when we are tempted to live for ourselves and for selfish gain, turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. When we are seeking true freedom, verse 45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Where is true freedom to be found? It is to be found in the commandments of God and living by them. Verse 105, when we are perplexed about the direction our life should take, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Verse 130, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, what he is saying all the way through, you see, is that the word of God is tailored by God to meet precisely the needs of the people of God. You know how sometimes you can see in a tailor's window, made to measure. I have never sampled that particular variety of tailoring, but I'm told what it means is that you put the suit on and it feels absolutely comfortable. It fits you perfectly. That's exactly what the psalmist is speaking about when he says the word of God, the word of the Creator, is tailor-made for the lives of men and women whom he has created. Now there are three ways, according to verse 73, that we are to relate to God's word, and with this I finish. In the first place, we are to seek understanding from God. Give me understanding. It is spiritual discernment that he is speaking about, not just intellectual wisdom. Give me understanding. That's the first way we are to relate to God's word. We are to seek understanding from him concerning it. Secondly, we are to learn God's word. Give me understanding that I may learn. So you will notice that God's gift of understanding is not a substitute for study. God gives us understanding and we come to him. Now here is how the people of God ought to come to the word of God. They should bow themselves down in humble acknowledgement that their only hope of understanding God's word is when he illumines it to them. But then they need to meditate upon it until God teaches them his truth. We are to seek understanding. We are to learn God's word. And thirdly, we are to obey it. Because his word is described here in this verse as commandments. Give me understanding to learn your commands. Now that is how, above all other things, the Christian is to relate to the Bible. He is to wait upon God for illumination
And thank God, no matter what our intellectual gifts may be, that is possible for every child of God. We are then to meditate upon it, to learn it. But the way we most glorify God through His Word is by going out into the world and doing what He tells us. Because that's what a commandment is for. So the hands of God have made the child of God in order that he may live upon and by the Word of God. And there is nothing that is as suitable for your needs this morning as the Word that God has given to us. May we be able to say, as the psalmist in this psalm says, "Oh, how I love your law." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We pray that you would teach us to cherish it more than our necessary food, and to give ourselves to living by its counsel. We ask this for our own well-being and for the glory of your name and for the good of a world that desperately waits to see lives in which your word is honored. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.